This time on episode 183 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to talk about the season one finale of Luke Cage,
You Know My Stairs,
and your weekly Marvel news.
Hi, I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the one you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Wednesday, June 21st, 2017. Happy Summer Solstice! What she said. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Cuban coffee.
If you'd like to talk to us about robust Cuban coffee, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail about hot and dark coffee, you can call us at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
If you'd like to let Haley and me know where we can get some Cuban coffee, you can get a hold of us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
If you want Star Pie to know where he can get the Cuban coffee, you can hit us up on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And if you want to actually show some Cuban coffee to us, you can check out our YouTube channel.
Children Star Pie.
At youtube.com/getageek.
I'm pretty sure that's against their terms of service.
It is, especially now. They actually have people that I've read about it. I've heard podcasts about it. They actually have censors looking over everything now.
Anyway, remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Or we used to be.
Not so proud anymore. A little bit ashamed. Proud shamed.
We're going to talk about You Know My Stairs. It's the Luke Cage finale episode of season one, and a little bit not satisfying. We're going to talk about that in a second. Haley, who directed this end of season episode?
This episode was directed by Clark Johnson, who has, on top of his 59 directing credits, 100 acting credits, including a part on The Wire, where he played city editor Augustus Gus Haynes. But his directing credits include this episode of Luke Cage, as well as an episode of La Femme Nikita, an episode of The West Wing, 4 episodes of The Wire, 1 episode of Flashpoint, 1 of Lost Girl, 1 of The Walking Dead, 1 of Person of Interest.
And for writers, we have 2 writers. First of all, we have Ada Mashaka Kroll, who has 3 writing credits. She was the script writer for 133 episodes of One Life to Live from 2008 to 2011,
wow,
and writer for 3 of them. She wrote 2 episodes of Turn, Washington Spies, which I still need to watch. And she wrote 2 episodes of Luke Cage, including this one and Blowing Up the Spot. But she was also story editor for 13 episodes of Sanctuary.
Mm.
And it was also written by Chio Hodari Coker, who you might know as the showrunner and executive producer of this show. He has 12 writing credits, including Southland. He has 5 episodes of that and the teleplay for 1 episode. 1 episode of Almost Human, that TV show from 2013 that I really liked, so of course it was canceled. 1 episode of Ray Donovan. 3 episodes of Luke Cage. And he's announced as the writer for Rom and Mask, which you might remember as toy line slash cartoons from the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mask Crusaders.
And actually, they were also done by Marvel Comics.
Yep. Mask Crusaders. I can still hear the theme song in my head, which I'm afraid I'm going to get sued because it's Marvel, so I'm not going to sing it.
Yeah, it was a very catchy song.
Yeah, it's playing in my head right now. I'm really, really, I'm not going to do it, because I don't want to get censored. Not going to happen.
Not for that, at least.
Yeah, other things maybe, but not for Marvel. I mean, it's like George Lucas is going to sue somebody. I'm sure Marvel's going to.
No, the mouse is definitely going to sue somebody.
Absolutely.
The mouse will send ninjas.
Talking about ninjas, we didn't see any ninjas, but we got somebody in a super suit, a Hammer Tech super suit, and there was a fight. Out in the street.
Talked about his mama. Did you hear that?
Yes.
You can't hand that. Make sure you get him back for that. You can't insult somebody's mama in Harlem.
You really shouldn't insult people's moms anywhere. I mean, unless they really don't like their mom, and then I guess it's okay.
No, not even then. Your mom could be the most horrible person. No one wants to hear bad things about their mom from somebody else.
Again, I know some people who had really terrible moms who really wouldn't mind. My mom is fantastic and possibly listening, and I love you, Mom.
Hi, Lauren's mom.
Hi, Lauren's mom.
Hi, Mom. Have you figured out podcasts yet? Text me if you have.
My mom used to watch when we showed up on the Facebook feed, but we don't anymore, so she probably doesn't.
That's right. We don't, for a lot of reasons. First of all, I can't spare the bandwidth. And second of all, I have been kicked off of Facebook, but
now we know why.
Sharing your coffee all over Facebook, Stargate Pioneer.
It's really good coffee, though.
Yeah, it is.
So actually sharing podcasts with parents, there is this outfit somewhere. I can get you the name of it, but you can get CDs made for like $1.99 and then send them somewhere for $1.99. And so I know another podcast producer, not on the Gonna Geek Network. And what she did is she put like 7 or 8 of her best episodes on a CD, and she had it made into a CD, and then she sent it to her mom so her mom could listen to her podcast. It was the only way her mom could figure out how to listen to our podcast.
Why are you paying? I still have a DVR, like a CD, whatever, the things that record onto.
But it actually printed out the CD and stay. It was a nice production. And her worry, though, was that her mom would go into like Best Buy or Target and say, hey, where's my daughter? She should be here. I need to buy another CD for somebody else. So she got a little worried about that. But anyway, way off track. We're going to get back to the fight with the supersuit and Luke Cage. And it wasn't just one fight. It was two fights separated by decades.
Yep. We have the flashback to young Luke Cage and young Diamondback. And they did a really good job of finding actors that looked like them. Like, you could see it in, like, the facial features. They were, like, they had that. And even with the attitudes, they had that attitude to them. Like, that part where Carl is saying, I'm a Lucas. And then you see young Willis's face just kind of freeze up. That was a moment that I took notice of.
You believe that they could grow up to be the characters we've been watching all season.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney, I'm going to call it Disney right here. Disney has a great capability to do youth faces of their characters. I mean, they did it in Tron Legacy. They've done it in some Marvel movies now, a couple of them. So they have the technology. They just elected not to use it here and actually cast young actors. And it wasn't just the first time, because we got that whole thing a long time ago with, it was Mariah and Cottonmouth's family too, right? So they had recast all those actors as young actors.
Well, there's reason not to do that. First of all, this is filming on a TV budget, not a movie budget. And second of all, the physicality is completely different. If you notice these guys, they're younger, they're thinner, they're lankier. Whereas if you just slap, you know, a younger face on Mike Colter's body, it's going to look weird. I mean, I think of the guys I knew who were 17, 18, and, you know, they have that, like, you know, they're still kind of stretched out and growing, and they haven't really filled in quite yet. And compare that to somebody who is at this point, I guess he's supposed to be in his 30s, early 40s, maybe. I don't know. Maybe, I'm guessing 30s, because everybody likes to make characters young. But again, the physicality, the everything is different.
Yeah.
It's not just in the face. It's in everything. And even with the slapping a young face on people, if you notice, they always have like a body double that they'll then map the face onto. In the most recent, you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy, they have somebody cast as young Kurt Russell, because Kurt Russell now doesn't have the same body type as Kurt Russell from 1982.
No.
That is true. If you looked in the credits, there was also somebody cast as, like, Carrie Fisher and Peter Cushing for the Star Wars movie.
Yep.
Yep. You definitely, I mean, you can't just, well, it would be difficult to CGI somebody completely in the scenes. You have to act off of something. I mean, it's just easier to run the scene with somebody there. I seem to remember when they did the Loki scenes in Asgard the last time, they couldn't get the actors together.
They couldn't get Chris Evans, but they had Tom Hiddleston in the Captain America suit.
Right, but they couldn't get Tom, and they couldn't get, what's his name, Odin. They couldn't get them together, so they actually had to film it like a week apart, and the actors weren't there.
No, I think it was Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth. They couldn't get at the same time.
Yeah.
So Tom Hiddleston is in this Captain America suit,
which apparently fits him like a glove. So
he did originally.
Well, he auditioned for Thor.
Right. Which is a beefy guy.
Well, he lost weight to play Loki after he got cast for that instead.
I would. I mean, why not? Don't have to work out as much. Anyway, so you had this fight going on, and then ultimately the power suit to super suit failed.
Speaking of horrible things, this fight going on in the present with Luke and Diamondback, and, you know, they're punching and Luke's just kind of getting his ass kicked. And I love how all of Harlem is seemingly just kind of gathered around watching, and you hear the crowd noises every time someone gets punched. And then, of course, Claire shows up. She wants to help, and Misty's like, you're going to die if you run in there. So instead, Claire does, you know, the rousing the audience thing and starts them chanting, and it's kind of what gets Luke back in the game.
It's a good old street fight. I mean, it is legitimately a street. There's no cops around to begin with, and when the cops...
Except Misty.
I like to think a lot of the people here in this crowd were also in the crowd when Hulk was in Harlem smashing things.
They're like, this is nowhere near that bad.
Yeah, we can get a lot closer this time, guys.
There's not even a building being destroyed. This is nothing.
There's no cop cars being torn in half and used as punching gloves. No military vehicles getting torn apart. No, this is fine. This is, they're just crunching a van. No big deal.
Like, this episode was short compared to the rest of the episodes of the season. They could have had 10 minutes of people talking about the last time there was a hero-villain fight in Harlem.
I kind of would have loved that, like, as they're walking away, you overhear it.
Or, like, one of the beat cops is like, last time this happened, I lost my car.
That would have been great. I mean, not for him, because he lost his car, but...
For us, the audience.
Yeah. Ways that you should have known that Luke was going to win, other than him being the hero. Diamondback had a hammer tech suit.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it's going to suck.
Of course, it's going to crap out 90% of the way through the fight.
At least it didn't bend over 90 degrees backwards.
And... like snap his back in half.
At least it didn't do that.
I will have you know that pilot survived.
Can he walk?
Listen, details.
Well, Doctor Strange didn't get to operate on him, so maybe not.
That's another thing. Doctor Strange is in town, right? He's close by. But so is Jessica Jones and Iron Fist. Okay, we get the Defenders coming up.
We will get to that towards the end of the episode.
Luke did get a bloody lip from this fight.
So that thing can, you know, make him hit pretty hard.
Yep.
Indeed. And he just warmed down like he did before, basically.
And yeah, the fight ends a whole lot sooner than I would have expected at, you know, the first time I watched the episode. But then again, you can't really have an hour-long fight and expect it to be riveting television.
No, but you can have a fight that's broken up. I mean, that's really every MCU movie.
Take the Deadpool approach.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure what I think about it, because there's a lot of stuff in the rest of the episode I like, but yeah, this part really did feel kind of anticlimactic.
Well, it's almost like they got to the end of the season, we're like, oh, that's our big bad. It's not really the story I want to tell to end this with, so let's just deal with that real quick, and then we'll tell the end of this season episode story.
Really wasn't an end of season story. It was a setup for more stuff to come. There was no really resolution. I mean, even at the end, you've got Willis in the hospital and you got Dr. Bernstein coming. You know what's going to happen. There's no good thing that's going to happen with that. So, you know, everybody's set to for round two. This whole 13 episodes turns out to be round one. Okay, well, I want round two now. And you're not giving it to me because you didn't give me a satisfactory ending.
So the first time I watched this, because I was marathoning it, I was kind of so burned out that I actually didn't remember what happened at the end of the season. So I didn't realize who it was that came in. Well, first of all, I didn't remember how, again, like it ended. But I obviously didn't know who came in to Diamondback's room. So this time I'm watching and I'm like, oh, snap.
I did remember that part. I remembered it was Creepy Doctor. What I had forgotten is how early the boss fight ended in the episode.
I looked down at my counter on Netflix. I you know, waved the mouse over there because I watched it right here in the studio. I'm like, 30 minutes left? Whoa, the episode's only 45 minutes? What the heck? For a season finale episode, like an hour, hour 15, maybe an hour and a half. And no, 45 minutes. And the boss fight is over 15 minutes into it. Now I'm like, okay, what's going to happen next? And it was like boring for 30 minutes.
It wasn't boring. It just wasn't action.
Well, okay. First, you think that Copperhead's the big bad. Mariah takes him down.
Wrong snake.
So you think he's going to be the big bad. Mariah takes him down. Then you think that Diamondback is going to be the big bad. And then he goes down. So now who's left? Mariah. So we see her continuing to move in and fill the power vacuum. So really, this whole season's kind of a rise of Mariah Dillard in terms of, you know, a villain.
It's her origin story.
Yeah, you can look at this season as her origin story. Exactly. And especially, you know, you keep seeing her slipping by the cops, and Misty puts her career on the line several times trying to put Mariah down because she knows Mariah is bad. But she's just slippery enough that you can't really prove anything. And at the end of the season, she's starting to get the feeling, I think, that, yeah, she's got this. She's moving into Harlem's paradise. She's replaced that picture of Biggie Smalls, the one with the crown on it, with a painting. It's actually called Red Kings by Basquiat. And I found an article, actually, from Inverse.com about this particular painting. This painting, by the way, is worth a whole lot. So the article is like, if she really wanted to solve her financial troubles, she could just sell the painting. But the whole point is that this is her showing, like, this is my place now. Also, it's kind of funny because this painting is by someone who is not a Harlem native. But anyway, she's making her mark. You know, she's become this kind of power couple with shades, although she's still like, I'm the boss. And honestly, this is like, weirdly enough, this is a bad guy power couple that I'm kind of rooting for. Like, kind of along the same way that I was rooting for Kingpin and Vanessa and Daredevil. Like, they're terrible, but they're good at it, sort of. Or they're getting you there.
So I was going to ask you, ladies, street fight, Vanessa, Mariah. Who wins?
Mariah.
Interesting. I would think Vanessa would have some smarts about how she fought.
No, Vanessa is like an art curator. Mariah was raised by gangsters.
Okay.
Yeah, Mariah knows how to get her hands dirty. Vanessa, the closest she has is she finds out Kingpin's a bad guy and she's like, well, okay, there's some stuff that I like here. It's like that whole, you know, the Bane thing from Dark Knight, like, you were born in the darkness, I was born in the... Whatever. I haven't seen that movie in a few years.
I wouldn't know. I couldn't understand him.
Yep. Whereas Mariah, bashed a guy on the head, threw him out the window, and then beat him to death with a mic stand.
Her own cousin for impugning her. And granted, it was a really terrible thing to say to her, but that was a bit of an extreme reaction.
Yeah.
How do you think this season would have ended had Cottonmouth not been offed by Mariah? If he was around right now, would the season ended differently?
Oh, yeah.
I think it still would have ended with Mariah taking charge, though.
I still think so, too, but...
It would have ended on him upset about it.
I don't think he would have been so keen to let Diamondback in. He had his own sense of pride. He had his own sense of control. He was... I mean, he ruled Harlem's Paradise with an iron fist, but he had a bit more sense of propriety than we see Mariah doing a bit later. And he was definitely a bit more predictable than Diamondback.
I also don't know that there was any way out of this season for Cottonmouth, because I think if Mariah hadn't killed him, Shades or Diamondback would have at some point.
Right. If that would have happened, and it would have saved Mariah from her turn, and I'm not sure we'd be at the same spot. It would still be Councilwoman Mariah Dillard at this point.
I don't think so. I think there still would have been a turn. Like, she still did a lot of shady stuff, and a lot of that stuff is coming out. She still would have ended up booted out of the council. She still would have ended up working with Diamondback for whatever reason, and she still would have ended up taking over Harlem's Paradise.
Yeah, we see that she's not really the best politician right now, and this whole experience, and especially lying to the cops, has kind of made her better at it. Like, she's getting better at being two-faced.
That whole interrogation scene, it was obvious she was acting. It was bad. I don't know if she's gotten better at it. I mean, she actually tried it, maybe, I guess.
She has more confidence at it, I think. And really, it's like when you see her doing her press things and all that, you know, it's very obvious that she's putting on a face. But when people start catching her, she fumbles. With this, you know, Misty knows, but at the same time, Mariah's like, what are you going to do? So yeah, she knows that she's lying, but she also knows that Misty has nothing on her right now.
And then it turns when she hears it and she's like, okay, what are you going to do about it? It's nothing. I'm going to beat it. And so she goes from the whimpering Mariah to the stern Mariah. And it was too much of a sway to me, obviously, in indicating guilt, but got to go by the evidence, I guess. I don't know.
You do. The whole point of, you know, the jury trial and everything is supposed to be the prosecutors have to prove that there is evidence. That all the defendant really needs to do is prove that the evidence doesn't point that way. It's not that they have to prove their person is innocent.
Or that the evidence could point to anything else, and that she's not there to corroborate one of her stories is enough to raise reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, moving on to another wonderful woman who has been one of the stalwarts of the entire Marvel season. But last week, we didn't really talk about it, but Claire's been in all of this stuff. Well, guess who's also been in all this stuff? Turk. So, Turk and Claire are what weave the Defenders together.
Pretty much. Claire is, again, awesome. You know, she's there standing up for Luke. He asks her out for coffee. And then the cops come for him because they recognized him as somebody, a bunch of people apparently, called in and recognized him as Carl Lucas.
Well, because Mariah Dillard was calling him Carl Lucas during her little interview.
And so they got dozens of calls from other inmates, obviously.
So things aren't going well there. But, you know, through it all, Claire's still standing by him. And, well, two quick things. Again, Claire being the link to the larger Netflix universe. First, when Luke is at the police station. I'm forgetting words.
He called it the cop shop, I believe.
But she's like, I know a good lawyer. So
Foggy? It's Foggy, right?
It's Foggy. It's totally Foggy. And then later on at the very end of the episode in the whole montage at the end, we see she walks up, she sees a flyer for self-defense. It says Colleen Wing, and she takes the number. And the next time we see her, we'll see the payoff for that.
Good, because she definitely needs that sort of stuff, especially how she took down, what's his face? Shades. She took down Shades in the stairwell, in the bottom of the gym, was it?
No, it was in Harlem's Paradise.
It all blends together after a while.
But yeah, that whole Cuban coffee line, that was, Luke, that was such a terrible line. You're better than that.
I like that you called him on it.
Yes.
There were a pair of corny people in this episode, and it wasn't just this episode. It was the entire last half of the season when they're getting together. Unfortunately, I mean, there was the big kiss between the two.
That was not a good looking kiss.
Well, dude's going to go off to prison. I mean, at least he got something.
Also, I loved when he gets in the car, he's like, guess I'm not getting that coffee. And cop's like, we can stop over there.
Yeah, at the Dunkin' Donuts. He's like, that's not the type of coffee I'm talking about.
Not the same.
So the ending, we've been talking about it. You ladies have described it as a downer ending. I just think it's a ending without resolution. I mean, a lot of stuff happened, but
I think it's going to get resolved very quickly at the beginning of Defenders is the thing. It's like they're setting it up as this big cliffhanger, but Fish finds that folder right away. Claire knows Matt Murdock.
Foggy.
Or Foggy. She's going to pass that folder along to one of them, and Luke's going to be out and with the Defenders in the first episode of the Defenders. So,
and the stuff that doesn't get resolved in the Defenders, because we know it takes place over a short period of time, they're obviously setting up for Luke Cage season 2. Like, I'm pretty sure the stuff with Mariah and the stuff with Diamondback, the stuff with Shades, the stuff with Misty, who, by the way, when we last see her, she's wearing an outfit very similar to how she looks in the comic with the red and looks cool.
She's undercover again in Harlem's Paradise. You can't really tell who she is compared to how she normally looks. So undercover back in Harlem's Paradise. And if I was Mariah, would I not recognize who that is?
Mariah would, but her dudes down at the door and stuff aren't probably going to recognize her.
Well, she's up there looking at the whole club. She can see everybody there.
Yeah, but she's not going to spot her from the balcony.
I don't know.
One random person at the bar.
She drinks good vodka, so you never know. It's her superpower.
You're right. It's definitely kind of, it's got that feeling of a definite, if not quite cliffhanger, a definite hook for upcoming stuff. But the fact that, you know, the last time we see our hero, he's getting carted off to jail, it's definitely sort of a downer.
It's like a mid-season finale in any of the TV shows. When you're coming up on the holiday season and you split the season in two, it's kind of like that because you get stuff that happens, but there's more stuff to happen. And I've heard, I don't know since I stopped watching the show, but Game of Thrones is splitting the last season into two halves.
Yeah.
I would expect the final episode in the first half to be kind of like this.
Probably, yeah.
Where you're looking forward to the rest of the season. So I guess it's just hooking us and getting us to watch the rest of Defenders.
Yeah, and it's not just Luke whose story ends on a low spot. Misty's story also ends kind of at a low spot because she finds out that Candace has been killed. She knows that she is at least partly responsible for that because she's the one that pulled her out of hiding, gave her the phone, and then kept her separated from additional police protection that she might have had because she thought she knew better than everybody else.
And she's called on it. Priscilla calls her on it.
And we talked about it last week. Like, she made a couple of bad decisions last week. It was that one, and I don't remember what the other one was. But, you know, she was not on her game last week. And you could probably chalk that up to the traumatic experience she was just coming off of.
The loss of blood, maybe?
Yeah.
I feel like if you are going to have a constant theme throughout all of the Defenders standalone shows, it's really, if you try to do stuff on your own, it's not going to end up well. When you do stuff with backup, it ends up better. And I feel like going into the Defenders, that's sort of the lesson here. People work better as a team to balance them out. Like Daredevil tries to do stuff on his own. He gets his ass kicked. Jessica tries to do stuff on her own. You know, she doesn't do well and ends up doing better when she has, you know, Trish behind her. Luke tries to do stuff on his own. I mean, he does better with Claire. Misty tries to do stuff on her own. it's not really going well for her.
Not at all. And I hate when I was hearing this said over and over. Luke said it, I believe, in this episode, and I've heard it before. I got this. No, you don't.
You do not got this.
And every time I hear that, I cringe. It should be a drink, the Marvel Netflix drinking game. I got this. That should be the drink. But I can't drink, so water, I guess. Your cheers. Haley, do you have anything else you want to say about the episode?
We hit all my discussion points. I just have quotes left.
Lauren, anything about the episode or the series in general?
No, I think we hit everything that I wanted to say.
Actually, I did have one more thing. The gun that Shades gave Mariah, which was Cottonmouth's gun, is the gun he just used to commit murder. Here, enjoy this murder weapon.
Well, it's not the first one he's given her either. He gave her the bottle, too, which wasn't a murder weapon, but...
One more thing. I really love, at the end, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings' 100 Days, 100 Nights is the song that's playing over, like, the end montage. I love that song, and again, this series and its use of music is so freaking good.
So the club got fixed up really quick. I'm wondering how long it's going to take for the barbershop to get fixed up.
Probably not as quick because they don't have money behind them.
And I hear it's not going to be a barbershop anymore either.
Doesn't want to be a barbershop.
That's what Bobby said.
It could be whatever it wants to be.
We will see the next time we see Luke Cage in Harlem. Okay, Haley, you got some quotes.
Nah, man. Brother deserves discretion.
Put the 4K camera down.
Looks like this place don't want to be a barbershop no more.
Okay, it's kind of like... You know how the X-Mansion gets destroyed like every other week in the X-Men comics? It's like there's a point at which you just stop rebuilding it. And I feel like right now, the barbershop is reaching that point.
Unless you have the same technology that Rocket Raccoon has in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, where it's just a spray gun that fixes everything, that would be so cool. I need that tool around here.
I assume it's going to become Luke Cage's hero for hire office.
I hope so. That would be amazing.
Yep, yep. Who would have thought a black man in a hoodie would be a hero?
Lots of hoodies.
We are showing her every courtesy the NYPD extends, very slowly.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't ever want to be on the end of that courtesy.
Never backwards, always forward.
Unless going backwards gets you forward.
Yep. Mariah Dillard walked out of here today because of you. Because you didn't trust our system. Because you didn't trust me.
I don't know if I would have trusted the inspector if I was Misty either. I mean, I guess if you're working in the police force, you got to trust somebody. But there had just been other cops killed. So I don't know. It's a hard thing to come back from.
I think by that point, she had proven herself trustworthy.
Exactly. And at the same time, all this stuff that kept happening and it just kept coming down to Misty distrusting and distrusting and distrusting. And the captain keeps saying, I'm trying to help. I am trying to help. You are making bad decisions. You need to trust me. And it comes down to this.
I hear that Cuban coffee is particularly robust.
I love the look that she gives him after he says that. Just really, are you kidding me?
She was like, I just can't even finish eating.
She takes, what, 10 seconds? It seems like 10. It seemed like more than that.
It was a good long while.
She let it hang there. Like, just think about what you just said.
But then she agreed with him.
Yep. She's like, you're lucky you're pretty.
I think, yeah, you could kind of see the equation in her head. She's like, terrible line. He's really pretty.
I was set up for something hot and dark before y'all messed that up.
He went willingly, though. I mean, he could have asked, hey, guys, can I have a couple hours?
He's like, hey, guys, give me, like, 5 minutes.
If he was like, 5 minutes, I'm like, I'll wait till you get back.
That's it.
All right. That was Luke Cage. So we've watched four series, because we've watched Daredevil season one, season two. What's been your favorite season so far, Lauren?
I think this one, Luke Cage.
I was going to go with Daredevil season one.
I'm going to say Jessica Jones, but this season of Luke Cage is a real close second.
All right.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is my close second, and followed really close there with Daredevil season one.
No one's going to fight for Iron Fist?
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't fight for it, but from what I've heard, I don't think I'll want to, so we'll just take it as it goes. All right, we are going to go ahead and continue our watches on Sunday, which will be the next time we get together. We will watch and discuss Legion Season 1, Episode 3, conveniently called Chapter 3. Next Thursday, we're going to start watching Iron Fist, which I have not seen yet. Season 1, Episode 1, Snow Gives Way. Yeah, next Thursday. So we're going to switch from Wednesday to Thursday. This was our last Wednesday. So if you're watching us live, this is our last Wednesday broadcast because Marvel swapped Inhumans and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Friday. This is what we've gone with. Sunday will be our prime podcast time that we talk about the episode of the week. And then we're supplementing on Thursday night for Snow Gives Way. So you can check that out at geeks.live. In the meantime, we're going to move on to some news.
All right, starting off with some movie news. Mark Ruffalo has posted some pictures from Infinity War.
I saw this picture earlier today, and I mean, nerds, just freaking nerds. So it's Benedict Wong, Mark Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr., and Benedict Cumberbatch, all in costume, eating lunch, and posing. So, a couple of things about this picture. First of all, Benedict Cumberbatch is holding a thing of hot sauce like he's about,
like he's trying to sell it.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr.'s shirt looks like he still has an arc reactor, like it has the hole cut out for it. But we know he got it removed, so what gives? I'm curious. Mark Ruffalo is just wearing a t-shirt. Benedict Wong is wearing his Wong outfit. And, their lunch looks tasty.
Is it shawarma?
No, it's like salad and drinks, like water drinks.
A lot of LaCroix.
Yeah, I think there's soda.
Craw.
I don't know how to pronounce words. There's also some like San Pellegrino water.
Wow, you don't know how to pronounce words? I don't know how to produce words. If you don't know how to produce words, we're screwed.
All right. Well, moving on to Sony's movie news. We know there's a Venom movie coming up, and we now know that Carnage is going to be making an appearance in that film.
Honestly, I kind of figured. I mean, who else would be the bad guy in a Venom movie?
I have heard recently that both the Marvel, Kevin Feige, and Amy Pascal have come out and said that the secondary Spider-Man characters are not going to be part of the MCU. And I know we talked about that last time that said they might actually be.
The last I heard was that they had confirmed that they were.
No, there was more news that came out that said they weren't. So I'm completely confused now. We're going to keep our eyes on this and see what actually happens. I think at the very least, you're talking a situation kind of like what the Netflix films are right now, where you've gotten bits and pieces of the incident and stuff like that, but you don't actually have any interaction back and forth with the MCU, kind of like what they're doing in the TV world now too. So where Venom could be off to the side, they could talk about like the Hulk.
I could see them saying that these side characters aren't going to interact with the MCU, but I think that they're still taking place in the same universe. I think that's the dynamic they're setting up.
If you bring Spider-Man in there, it'd be difficult to not. Even if you just mention Peter Parker, Miles Morales, or anything like that, it would be impossible to not, in my opinion. But who knows? You're talking about two different studios, and there's a lot of money, a lot of posturing, so we'll see. Carnage.
Yeah.
Yep.
More movie news. Apparently, there's a wild rumor about the next Fantastic Four movie.
They're trying again, y'all, apparently.
Well, don't they have to keep the rights?
They do. Okay, the rumor is that Seth Graham Smith, the guy who wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and did, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter? I guess that's what it called.
Yes.
Is going to be writing, directing, the next movie, and it's going to focus on Franklin and Valeria, you know, Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman's kids. And they want more of like an Incredibles feel to it, which I'm not opposed to, because I think if you were going to make a movie about the Fantastic Four, that's the feeling you should be going for. But at the same time, I'm so burned out on terrible Fantastic Four movies, and I don't like Seth Graham Smith. So
I'm not engaged at all with the Fantastic Four because Marvel canceled the comics. And so that's my leverage into there. And I'm not like Haley. I didn't go back to 1963. I tried that for like 2 months and it just didn't work.
If they could do it without Mr. Fantastic, because Reed Richards is like the worst character ever.
The worst. He is such a dick. Oh, I might have told you about this, but there was a comic in the 60s where Human Torch and The Thing were going to go off and do their own thing and be heroes by themselves without Reed being in charge. And Reed got so mad about this, and he's such a dick, that he pretended to be a villain for the issue just so to prove that they couldn't do it without him.
What do you mean pretended? Seriously, I know there has to be somebody out there whose favorite character is Reed Richards. And no offense to you, but he is the worst character.
And you should feel bad that he is your favorite.
There are mentions of Reed Richards throughout the Marvel comics. Like, okay, I got this from Reed, but I haven't actually seen him around.
You're lucky. He's terrible.
I know. The only thing I've seen is the Human Torch. I have not seen Reed or any.
Johnny's fun.
Johnny is fun. And he is confirmed bisexual.
I did see The Thing, and I'm trying to remember, that was, I don't know, 6 months ago or so. So, yeah, The Thing and The Human Torch, but I haven't seen anybody else. So, I mean, I guess that's half, but they're not together. And then, who is it? Peter Parker, I believe, bought the building, the Baxter Building, and that's the headquarters for Parker Industries right now. So, the remnants of the Fantastic Four are still in the comics, but they are not anywhere near the comics.
Well, I think we're probably all in agreement that Fox's X-Men movies have got to be approaching their natural end for at least this continuous run. It's almost 20 years since the first X-Men movie came out.
Oh my God, we're old.
I know, right? What if when they restarted their X-Men movies, they restarted them existing in the same universe as their new Fantastic Four movies? Because they could do that. And those two groups can kind of work together because the Fantastic Four kids are mutants, correct?
Yes. Franklin and Valeria are, in fact, mutants.
Hmm.
So they could build their own little cinematic universe if they wanted to.
And then pull in Deadpool to it as well.
Just keep the same Deadpool and he can make jokes about how he remembers the old universe.
Exactly. That'd be awesome.
That would work so well.
Instead of Logan doing the time travel, it would be Deadpool.
It's like not even time travel. He's just like, sup, I'm here now.
He's joking about how he liked the other actors better. And,
mm-hmm.
And they're like, wait a minute, what? Professor X. I don't know. Are we talking McAvoy or Stewart? I don't know.
And then watch, they get a third guy. And now all of a sudden, he's just really confused.
All right. Well, reaching even farther back into Marvel's movie universe, Leah Thompson is declaring herself the first queen of Marvel.
She's not wrong.
You'll recall, she was, in fact, in the Howard the Duck movie.
I don't think she's right either, but I'll disagree. So I will agree that she was in Howard the Duck. And I will agree that if anybody was going to save that movie at that point in time in that genre, Leah Thompson would have been it. It didn't do it for me. Sorry.
It was the first Marvel movie. She was the first leading lady in it. And she was the first queen of Marvel. And by the way, I was at Best Buy yesterday. We were picking up John Wick 2. By the way, fantastic movie. And we were looking through the bargain bin and they had the Blu-ray of Howard the Duck.
Why would you need that on Blu-ray?
I know. I gave mine away and I don't ever want it.
I think you gave yours to me.
I thought I gave mine to Willie.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I bought one for you.
Yeah, you sent me a DVD of it as well. Thanks for that, by the way.
Well, I just wanted to make it easier to watch the movie. And I'm like, I wish I could, throw that underneath a packet of C4. That movie should have gone into the chest of C4 last episode.
No.
Ugh. Ugh. By that definition, by the way, George Lucas was the producer and director of that, right? So by definition, then, is he the watcher of the Marvel Universe?
No, that's Stan Lee. We have had that confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, we talked about Jack Kirby being enshrined by the Disney last time around. Stan Lee is also in that enshrinement as well. It wasn't just Jack Kirby.
Last little bit of movie news, last little bit of news for the week. We knew there was going to be an animated Spider-Man movie, and apparently Mahershala Ali is going to be in it.
Yay, he's like extra Marvel now. We saw him as Cottonmouth. My mouth wants to say Copperhead.
Copperhead and Diamondmouth.
There was an article in the paper this morning about there's been a whole bunch of snakes, like, because of the weather and stuff. And it was like, can you tell a copperhead from a cottonmouth?
And you can't.
Apparently, I can't.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that during a tropical storm or hurricane or whatever, snakes are an issue because they're swimming around or floating around?
In Texas, they are always an issue in the summer because they like to come out and sun themselves.
Hurrah, snake.
Oh.
Oh, my God. You have discovered sci-fi's new movie franchise.
Oh.
He's going to be voicing Miles Morales' uncle, Aaron Davis, who has a really significant role in his origin story. So that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm really liking Miles Morales comics, and it's great.
Oh, God, I love them.
Yeah.
And this movie is actually, it's being directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who you might remember as the directors of the Lego movie and the Han Solo movie. Oh, wait. You heard that they were fired, right? With 3 weeks left in filming.
For which one? The Han Solo movie?
Yes, it was just yesterday.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. Oh, 3 weeks left in filming?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
The scuttlebutt has it that their style of directing was a lot more improvisational, which Kathleen Kennedy, the producer right now for Lucasfilm, hated. And their vision of what Han Solo was clashed a lot with her and, more importantly to me at least, Lawrence Kasdan, who you might remember as the writer of Empire Strikes Back, co-writer of Return of the Jedi, and writer of The Force Awakens. So,
interesting.
I'm a little worried. They're writing the Lego movie actually has me more excited about this than it does about the Han Solo movie.
Well, if anything can prove that a movie can be resurrected from that sort of travesty, first of all, we have Ant-Man. Now, that happened earlier on, but Ant-Man was okay when it came out. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit myself. But also, I need to point out, and this is crossing the streams again, but Wonder Woman was supposed to be a wreck, and it was actually a really good movie. So I'm really hopeful that DC can do that same thing with the Justice League coming out later on within a year, right? And then if Han Solo, that would be the solo movie that everybody would want to succeed that are Star Wars fans. So I'm really hopeful that they can fix this.
I don't want any Star Wars movie to fail, but since Han Solo is such a beloved character and honestly one of my favorite characters since I was a kid, of course I don't want this movie to be bad. So here's hoping.
The only movie that I know of in the sci-fi comic book genre that was made but then cut off was that terrible Fantastic Four movie. Do you guys know of any other movie that just did not make it to theaters?
I'd have to think for a while. I know of a couple, but they were mostly like shelved for a few years and then released, or planned for wide release and then released on DVD.
There have been a lot of scripts that have floated around forever that never really got made, but
yeah.
There was the Nick Cage Superman movie.
Yeah, which actually has a documentary out about it that I need to see.
And I know Robotech was trying to do a live action thing. Tobey Maguire was trying to bring that to the screen and it never happened as well. So I know there's a bunch of projects like that. But if this does not fit Kathleen Kennedy's version of Star Wars, I don't see it going into theaters. I see them saying, no, we're going to try this one again. That's just my two cents on it. So we'll see if that happens or not. I don't know. I did know, I listened to this podcast, Geekville Radio, and it was talking all about the fact that Disney will never, they came out with a statement that they will never release the original versions of Star Wars. And the guy made a lot of great points in that the original prints don't exist anymore, first of all. And then also, which version are you talking about? Because there was actually several versions that were shown both in theaters and that were remade. And then what you are really talking about when people say they want the original, what they're really talking about is the 80s VHS versions, which is 480 quality that people saw on a tube. It was just very different.
I have like six or seven different versions, I think. I have the original release where it's just Star Wars. I have the THX versions. I have the laser print versions.
And they're all different. Some are mono, some are stereo. So my point is, if people are clamoring for the original releases of Star Wars, and I know we've just taken a huge tangent here, but if they're claiming, what is your definition of the original releases?
Basically, what they want is the despecialized version, like the ones without the extra stuff added in.
They want the version they saw when they were kids.
Yeah, but it depends on if you saw it in a because the theater version was different than the VHS version, which was different than the THX version. So it's different.
So I have so much to say. It's way off topic. So anyway.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we'll close this down. And at some point in time, Lauren will get her own Star Wars podcast and you'll hear all about this. All right, Haley, any more news for the week?
No, that's it.
All right, we're going to move down to walk this one out. Little retro for you on this last Luke Cage podcast. I just want to say thank you very much. We got a couple of people in chat. It was great seeing Felix and Mike in the chat tonight. Thank you for sending us off on our Wednesday night, and we will be back Thursday night next week, as well as Sunday afternoons, 1 p.m. Eastern will be our new main home until we get caught up. We will also do that secondary Thursday night. So just thank you everybody for downloading the podcast. Even though we're putting out two a week the last couple of weeks, you guys are continuing downloading the podcast. So you're obviously wanting the content, and we will continue producing it. But if you have something to say about it, please get in touch with us. We'd really like to hear what you have to say about these 2 week Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts.
Thank you for everybody who contacts us, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, if you want to call us. As we get into talking about Iron Fist, if you haven't watched it yet, you can watch along with us. And we will bring in our commentary and maybe make the viewing a little more fun for you.
Maybe we'll enjoy it more the second time.
Yeah, we love hearing from you. We love, you know, when you kick news articles our way, makes our job a little easier. We just really love knowing that you're out there and that you enjoy what we do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you enjoy Marvel Talk, you should also listen to this week's episode that just released of Legends Podcast, where they did talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. And then you can call Wing and tell him how wrong he is and how sorry you are that he doesn't experience joy in life.
And if you want to listen about Marvel Comics, you can check out Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. We're still in last November of 2016 right now, but we're quickly catching up.
We're working on it.
We are. We have a plan.
Slaving away in the comic mines.
We have a 12% of a plan. All right. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pawn5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
I'll bet. I can definitely hear your air conditioning, but there is no way in heck that I'm going to ask you to turn it off.
I wouldn't, even if you told me to.
Still glad you moved there?
Not right now. Not this week. This is the week I decided to start running again. So, like, I go in the morning before work, and it's still, like, 90 degrees.
Oh, my God.
But I'm definitely not running after work.
Yeah, I remember running in Vegas in the morning on the street, because Vegas in the morning is perfect to run at like 6-7 o'clock in the morning. And one of the weeks I was out there, so hot. Oh my gosh. And would not want to do that on a daily basis. So, I mean, are your tires melting? Can you still drive your car? I mean,
apparently.
So work's not canceled or anything?
No. We're in our new office, though. It's got, you know, huge windows, and we don't have anything in the windows yet.
Mm.
So it's hella hot up front.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I just finished the major edits. I just need to go back and correct a couple lines where I mispronounced a character's name because I don't speak French. But yes, I'm, for all intents and purposes, done with this audiobook.
Yay!
Yay!
Yes!
So I'm so excited. Today is my last day without a dishwasher.
Hey.
It comes tomorrow. Yes! No more dishes! It's driven me nuts. Me crazy. I mean, even using this Shield mug for this podcast, I gotta wash it. It's turning out to be, oh, I don't want to wash it. I just want to put it in the dishwasher.
I'm hitting record.
Good, Haley.
I've been recording for a while.
Yes. Is that just the gasp because you're recording?
That's the recorded gasp.
That was me.
So I forgot to hit record on my own podcast last week.
Really, Haley, again?
That was a thing that happened.
What inspired you? Because there's like 15 more seconds of that. What inspired you to do that?
The instructions were scream, so I screamed.
What did you visualize to start screaming?
Nothing. Actually, you want to hear some good screams coming out soon. I'm in this next season of Subject Found.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm a character on the thing, but I'm also a murder victim in the two teasers.
Yeah.
And, I can't wait until that drops because I'm so excited. I die horribly. It's going to be great. That was the most recent time where I had to go warn the neighbors, please don't call the cops.
My phone wants to autocorrect Batman to Bateman.
That's dumb. Your phone is dumb.
Yep. Go home, phone. You're drunk.
I would. I mean, why not? Don't have to work out as much.
Bye.
Did we lose anyway. SP?
So you had this fight going on, and then ultimately the frozen? Power suit to super suit failed.
Did a witch cast a spell on him?
Did he? Did that happen? Did I not see that?
You just kind of vanished first. Well, you weren't vanished, but your face just kind of froze like this for like 10 seconds.
Apparently, I'm having some connectivity issues tonight, so...
Yay!
This could be a fun
between
show.
You having that, and right now there's a tropical storm rolling in behind me,
and I have like an apocalyptic heat wave. It's just a good time all around.
This is the podcast of doom.
Planes cannot fly in Arizona right now. It's just
that's right.
That is messed up, man.
So I decided to start running again this week.
Oh my god, what is wrong with you? I'm not talking about the heat. I'm talking about running. That's just awful.
Yeah. Yep.
Are your shoes melting to the pavement?
Not yet.
That happened to me once. When I first moved to Laredo, my shoes melted. It was so hot, the tar on the road was melting. Anyway.
Other than that, Haley, stay cool.
Trying.
And Lauren, don't swim with the snakes.
Doing my best to avoid them.
All right.
I mean, even though they're adorable, it would be bad to run into one of the venomous ones.
Yes, it would. Well, y'all have a good week. Stay safe, and I'll see Lauren Sunday, and Haley, I'll see you next Thursday.
Yep.
Okay. Bye.
You can just call me a see you next Thursday.
I don't get that reference. I'm sorry. What was...
Spell it out.
C-U-N-T.
C-U-N-T.
Never heard that before.
Well, it's usually Tuesday, but...
I have heard One Delta 10 Tango, but not see you next Tuesday.
I haven't heard that one.
So, one is an I, Delta is D,
I get that.
10 is I-O, and Tango is T. So, idiot.
Yep.
Yeah. We've got a One Delta 10 Tango here.
Okay, I get it.
Okay. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.